Good morning, wake up, and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the fastest growing segment of our society. To those of you who, like me, know that there's something dreadfully wrong, particularly destructive, about religious and political institutions, media reporting, military invasions, and all of the economic schemes and manipulations. We realize that these institutions actually caused the problem, so they're not the solution. There is no reason to try to rearrange the deck chairs on this Titanic. So instead of merely presenting the news, our mission here will be to understand who is behind these tragedies, what's causing them to besiege our planet, all while we predict how these events will influence our world if more of us don't stand up and stop them. And that's why in our second hour, we're going to engage God on His terms, through evidence and reason, since His guidance regarding His covenant provides hope, the only reliable response to an exceedingly troubled world. Words wielded wisely provide the answer for everything that ails us, from economic ruin to terrorism, from religious myths to political hypocrisy. So over the next 2 hours, if you'd like to participate in this program and discuss these issues of a lifetime, please call us, 877-300-7645. Yesterday, U.S. President Barack Obama said the U.S. has concluded that the Syrian government carried out a chemical weapons attack near Damascus. Oh, that's interesting. We don't have any operatives in the area. We don't have an investigation team in the area. The intercepts that we garnered from the between the Syrian military and political authorities don't provide any such evidence. The inspection teams haven't presented even a preliminary report from the United Nations. All but old U.S. President Barack Obama has said that the U.S. has made its conclusion. Why? Because he has concluded that he's going to war. Damn the facts, we don't care. You know, that's kind of what happened with Vietnam. Gulf of Tonkin incident did not occur. But it was used to deploy our military in Vietnam to horrible consequences. That's what happened in Iraq. Remember in Iraq how Colin Powell stood up there before everyone in the United Nations and had this wonderful slide presentation? I mean, it was PowerPoint done professionally. And I remember watching Colin Powell's presentation of the pictures of, this is a truck, and in that truck we know there's this, that, and the other thing. This is a picture of a factory, and it looked like, you know, any other dilapidated building, outhouse in that part of the world. And he says, in this building we know they're doing this, that, and the other thing, and isn't this terrible? This is absolute proof. And all of it was untrue. Every last bit of it was untrue. We squandered 10,000 American lives. We invaded Iraq. 1 million people died as a result of that invasion. We squandered $6 trillion, making a bad situation worse. We, by invading Iraq, gave Iraq to Iran so that they could complete their nuclear weapons program unhindered, and so they could take control of Syria. And then on our way out, we armed the Sunnis after having armed the Shia so that there could be a civil war in Iraq, and so that that civil war between Sunni and Shia in Iraq could spread into Syria. Yep, but, Colin Powell hasn't apologized for presenting a pile of lies to the world. So you think this president will do the same thing? Will he tout out one of his administration spokespeople to do the PowerPoint presentation and justify the war? Or is he just going to say, I've decided, I've concluded, I know? He said that the use of chemical weapons affected U.S. national interests. Now, I want you to tell me, How is killing 300 people in a war that has left over 100,000 dead affect U.S. interests? Why does it matter if the Mujahideen that we're fighting, we allegedly are fighting everywhere in the world in our war against terrorism, prevail against Assad, or if Assad prevails against them? What does it matter to the United States? How is anyone's life in the United States put at risk if one side or the other prevails? Tell me. One side eats the heart out of a victim. One side will, over a 20-minute time in front of an entire community, while citing prayers to Allah, will slowly saw off the head of two Catholic priests whose crime was they tried to protect nuns from being raped by these same Mujahideen that we will turn the country over to. You tell me why it would make a difference. How is America's national security interest at stake here? What on earth are we talking about? This is so utterly absurd, such a pack of lies. It's like those in control in America think that they're talking to little children who are incapable of processing information, incapable of understanding anything complicated, and that their superior wisdom is what we need to hear. What we have in Syria, let's understand the circumstances. We've gone over this ground before, but it is essential because America is about to make as big a blunder as America made when it invaded Afghanistan, as big a blunder as America made when it invaded Iraq, as big a blunder as America made when it aided the Mujahideen in Libya, as big a mistake as America made when it decided in World War II to aid and abet Stalin because the enemy of our enemy was our friend. When we decided to aid and abet Mao Zedong because the enemy of our enemy was our friend, and then we had to fight him 5 years later, losing tens of thousands of Americans in Korea. We are making the same mistake all over again, and the consequences will be grievous. We're broke. We don't have the money to go off and play war, and we don't have the moral high ground. If we were genuinely, righteously indignant of the slaughter of innocent civilians, then we would have intervened in the Sudan. The Islamic government in the Sudan killed 2.5 million Christian and animists. 2.5 million. We're not talking about 300. 2.5 million and we didn't do a thing. Where's our sense of righteous indignation? No, this is all a ploy because Barack Hussein Obama visions himself as being the great savior of the Muslim world. And in this case, he is a Sunni. And so him aiding and abetting Sunni Muslims, that's exactly how he wants to be seen. That's why he gave his great Islam Rising speech at the headquarters of Sunni Islam Worldwide, Al-Ghazi University in Cairo. That lit the match that began all of this. He started it, and he is now going to strike a decisive blow on behalf of Sunni Islam. The Muslim Brotherhood was thrown out of power the day after it made national television appearances to say that it was a holy fatwa that Egypt should side on behalf of the Sunni rebels in Syria and kill the hypocrites, to kill the pigs that were Shia Muslims, to slaughter them. And it was the following day that the military intervened and booted Morsi out of power. and now the United States government. Barack Hussein Obama, carrying the flag of jihad, is going to do what Morsi wanted to do, but was stopped by his own military. Do you know that the Barack H. Obama Foundation is headed by Barack's brother, Malik, half-brother, and that his principal job is to manage funds for the Muslim Brotherhood investments, and that his closest friend is the fundamentalist Muslim thug who controls the Sudan, the most deadly nation on earth. And yet Americans are just being played for fools. If you go back a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, and when Americans were polled as to whether or not they wanted to intervene militarily in Syria, the numbers were between 65 and 75%. Hell no. Let's not do that. Look what happened to us in Libya. Look what happened to us in Afghanistan. Look what happened to us in Iraq. No. Let's not do that. But when those who were polled 2 months ago were asked the question, if, as Obama has drawn his red line, there is proof that the Syrians have used chemical weapons, then would you support an invasion? Well, then the numbers switched and you had 60% in favor. It's pretty obvious. The Obama administration paid attention to that poll. And so what do you have? You have the president saying, I'm convinced that the Assad regime used chemical weapons against its own people. Now, my point of view is, if they had, so what? What does it matter in a war that has killed 110,000 people? What does it matter when the atrocities perpetrated by the other side have been far worse? Sure, it's a shame. There's lots of shames in life. Man has been despicable for a very long time. But what makes you think that our intervention can make a horrible situation better? Yes, Barack Hussein Obama yesterday said that he not only concluded that the Syrian government had used chemical weapons near Damascus. Kind of interesting, of course, that they would use them 3 to 4 miles away from the presidential palace, and actually not near Damascus. They were in Damascus. But that this was affected U.S. national interests. Now, mind you, I decided I would look up and check out the arsenal that Syria has to bear. I did this prior to the United States invasion of Iraq. And with the U.S. invasion of Iraq, the point I made on countless radio programs was that if we were right and Saddam Hussein had massive stockpiles and delivery systems of chemical and biological weapons, then sending Americans in on foot to invade Iraq was grotesquely immoral and suicidal, because he would deploy those chemical and biological weapons on the advancing American troops. And there is no suit or gas mask that is universally successful in deterring that kind of an attack. And you'd be sending Americans directly into the teeth of that. And I told anyone who would listen that if it's true that he has them, then sending Americans in an invasion is immoral and murderous. And I said, if he does not have them, then we have no justification for going in at all. That we would be squandering Iranian and American lives by invading. It was that simple. It did not. If that was the issue as it was presented to the American people, then if you looked at that issue rationally, you would not invade under any circumstances. I wish America had listened. Now I'm telling you that the circumstances here are different. He has chemical and biological weapons. We know it because early on, Syria and Iraq were best buds. They were allies. That changed when America invaded Iraq. And that pushed Iraq so that it was now Iran West. And Syria, which doesn't have enough oil to be self-supporting, needs a OPEC partner. And now the only option was Iran. But during the time that there was an exchange between Saddam Hussein and Assad, because we're both politically were secularists, they were both Ba'ath Party members, there was an extraordinary exchange of chemical weapon capability between those countries. And it was America that gave the chemical capability to Saddam Hussein because we wanted him to use it against Iran. Well, he gave what he had to Syria, which is now where we are having to confront it. So we know for certain that he has it. He has what is considered to be the largest stockpile of chemical and biological weapons in the world. So in this case, it's not an if. He has them. Now, knowing that he has them, this president is not going to send in an invading force, at least not now. But now, if you were Assad, you always got to think ahead of the game. It's easy to enter or start a war. Easy. It's hard to resolve one and get out of it. So if you're going to do this, you have to think, what is Assad's reaction going to be? And it's going to be the same that if Saddam Hussein had chemical and biological weapons, the moment America began to invade, very early on, he would have deployed all of them. Go down in a blaze of glory. Now that Assad knows that America would not stop in Iraq until they killed Saddam Hussein, they would not stop their bombings of Libya until Muammar Gaddafi was killed. He knows that America, once they drop the first bomb, will not stop until he's dead. So what is he going to do? Do you think he's just going to lie around and say, yeah, let's play hide and seek until they kill me? Or is he going to make this grotesquely immoral mistake by the United States unbelievably costly? If he has those weapons, then what you want to do is to check out what his delivery systems are. I did that yesterday. Thousands of rockets, many with ranges upwards of 750, 800 kilometers. He can turn all of Turkey into a killing field. He can turn much of Saudi Arabia into a death zone. But his primary target, of course, will be Israel. Rocket after rocket, filled with sarin gas over Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. You know, these rockets travel at Mach 3. It's 60 miles from the border into those towns. 2 or 3 minutes is all it will take. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Mist. Scott, our program's producer during the break, was able to find an article that I'm going to share with you. This is from the New York Times. Yes, this is from the New York Times. It is not from a conspiracy scandal rag. Russia said Tuesday that its scientific analysis of a suspected chemical weapons attack in Syria on March 19th showed that it probably had been carried out by insurgents using sarin nerve gas of, quote, cottage quality, delivered by a crudely made missile. The finding contradicted the conclusions presented by Western nations, including the United States, that the Syrian government had been responsible. Now, let me just paint the picture here so we have the proper perspective. I'm not fond of Putin. I think Putin is one of the most evil forces on the planet today. Putin has turned Russia from a communist country to a fascist country. He's a bad man. But in the case of Syria, he's on the right side. That's a tough statement. He's on the less wrong side. How about that? Russia is the primary weapon supplier to Syria. And before you say, oh, well, isn't that horrible that we would even listen to somebody who has a vested interest, who is the weapon supplier to Syria? The United States is the second largest weapon supplier to Syria. Yeah, not to the government, mind you. No, but it's our weapons that are being funneled through Qatar and through Saudi Arabia and Kuwait and other of Americans' alleged allies to weaponize the opposition. You know, and I talk about grotesquely immoral. At least what Russia is doing is they're selling weapons to a legitimate government. Now, I understand that Assad is a creep. But the fact of the matter is, that's the government of Syria. They're doing the same thing that America does around the world at far greater numbers than what Russia is doing. So selling weapons to creeps is a problem that America is the biggest creep nation on earth. So you've got to be careful here when you point the finger at Russia and said, well, they're weaponizing the Syrian government. Well, we're weaponizing the rest of the world at a tune of about 10 times the amount of weapons to creeps very similar to Saddam Hussein, to Assad. Now, the other difference here is, and keep this in mind, because the Russians are the advisors on how to use those weapons, they have personnel in Syria. The United States does not. The United States can't make a conclusion that is based upon its own independent research because we don't have anyone in the country. Russia does. So let me read this again because Russia's in a position to know. And by the way, it is in Russia's interest that we intervene militarily. They will just stand by and watch and laugh at our stupidity. Russia said Tuesday that its scientific analysis of a suspected chemical weapons attack in Syria on March 19th showed it probably had been carried out by the insurgents using sarin and nerve gas of cottage quality, a quality delivered by a crudely made missile. The finding contradicted the conclusions presented by Western nations, including the United States, that the Syrian government had been responsible. The Russian analysis, announced at the United Nations news conference by its ambassador, was based upon what he said was evidence collected directly by the Russian forensic specialists who had been permitted by the Syrian government to visit the site, Khan al-Asal in northern Syria. Mr. Kirkin, that's the ambassador, said that he had been informed, that he had informed Ban Ki-moon, the United Nations Secretary General, who has been successfully pressing the Syrian authorities to permit his own team of chemical weapons experts to visit the country. Wow. Now, you know what the United States has? What the United States has is as follows. The United States is confident that Syria was behind the deadly chemical attack after intercepting a phone call from a Syrian defense chief demanding an explanation from its chemical weapons military unit for the action, according to news claims. Just hours after the attack last Wednesday, an official, not the chief, just an official, at the Syrian Ministry of Defense exchanged panicked phone calls with a leader of a forward unit, demanding answers, according to the website Foreign Policy. Now, think this through. You've got a low-quality rocket, the kind that the Mujahideen, the rebels, have been deploying all over Iraq. Now, the kind of rockets, and that was what the point I was going to make in the previous segment, is that the government of Syria has thousands of very sophisticated, long-range Russian and North Korean rockets. They are precise. They are long-range. They are large capacity. And they haven't been deployed. What has been deployed is the kind of crude rockets that are deployed by Hamas over there in its crusade against Israel. That's what they said was used here. Now, if Assad wanted to wreak havoc with chemical weapons, he's going to send his rockets into Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Okay, put this all aside and think through this scenario. A rocket lands in a suburb of Damascus, 3 to 5 miles away from the presidential palace, and it's filled with sarin gas. If you're in the Department of the military for Syria, and you find out that a rocket has fallen in a suburb of Damascus, 3 to 4 miles from the presidential palace, wouldn't the first thing you would do is say, to call your forward unit, the unit close to that, and say, what in the hell is happening here? I need an explanation. This isn't proof that the Syrians did it. It's proof that they didn't do it. Do you think that someone high up in the Syrian military is going to call and ask for an explanation if the Syrian military decided that on orders from Assad that we're going to do this? No. It's a guy saying, how did this happen? I need an explanation. Well, the explanation is the rebels that Americans want to support, those who tear out and eat the hearts of their captors, those that saw off the necks of Christians, they did it. That's what was proven here. But why is Barack Hussein Obama going to tell you the opposite, that he's concluded the other way? And why is he telling you that I haven't made my decision what I'm going to do, even though every bomb American can muster, every ship that American can float, every plane that American can get aloft is headed to Syria to pummel the place? Because that way Barack Hussein Obama looks like he's decisive, like he's commander in chief. He drew the red line, and by golly, he's going to hold them accountable. It's all a pile of lies. And it's not uncommon for Americans to wave the flag and sing their national anthem as we go to war on a pile of lies. We did so in World War I. The sinking of the Lusitania, which prompted Americans' patriotism to go to war, we arranged for it to be sunk. Yes, the President of the United States, working with Churchill, arranged to have the Lusitania sunk to justify America's intervention in that war, where we subjected Americans to chemical and biological weapons. Going back before that, Spanish-American War, we sunk the Maine. Anything to create the illusion that we ought to rally around the troops in Vietnam. Yeah, that's right. The Gulf of Tonkin incident. We made up the whole story of how a Vietnamese Navy vessel came out and started shooting at an American warship. And boy, we can't let them just shoot at our ships without going to war against them, holding them accountable. And so, for a made-up story, we sacrificed 60,000 American lives. 10,000 American lives, 1 million additional people in Iraq, all based on a lie. Oh, but we rallied around the troops, man. It was a popular war when we invaded. Look at the mess we made. That mess is the mess that exists in Syria right now. Had America not invaded Iraq and given Iraq to Iran, those 100,000 plus people that have been killed in Syria would still be alive. The rebels would not have used sarin gas on their own people. The United States would not be on the precipice of another war. We are a country that justifies doing heinous acts based on lies. We pretend that we are noble, that we are protecting the innocent. And yet we're the largest killer of innocents in the world. We say that we're opposed to terrorism, and yet we're going to war once again on behalf of the terrorists. You know, there were no Al-Qaeda elements in Iraq when we invaded the country. George Bush lied. But there sure are now. Libya was not a weapon supplier to terrorist Muslims before we start dropping bombs on Libya, but they sure as heck are now. Imagine what's going to happen in Syria once America bombs that country, killing another 100,000 people, and the rebels prevail. Al-Nusra Front is as close to the mindset of Al-Qaeda as any organization on earth today. Who in their right mind would fight them in one country, arm them in another, and give them a state like Syria? Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Yes, the President of the United States said that the weapons affected U.S. national interests, and it sent a shot across the bows that changed everything as it relates to this of the Syrian war. A shot across the bow. Is he now explaining that this was a shot across the bow, as was the case with the Lusitania, where the Germans knew that we had put weapons on it and that we were using it as a warship, and that they had run ads telling Americans don't board that ship because you're being set up to die? And they shot warning shots across the bow saying, stop, we don't want to sink you. Was a shot across the bow a reference to what happened in the Gulf of Tonkin, where we made up a story of the North Vietnamese sending shots across the bow of our warship there? What bow does America have in Syria? Is it the Syrians sent a missile filled with sarin gas across the bow of one of our aircraft carriers? What bow do we have there?
Shouldn't we be most concerned about Israel, since they are our, we said that we're their allies?
Not if you're Barack Obama and you give speeches that inspire Muslims to rise up like this. No. Yeah. If you're sane, if you happen to know Yahweh, if you're a participant in the covenant, then we ought to.
Even if you don't know Yah or any of that, even if you don't know that, my whole life I've been told that Israel is our ally. If you believe anything, if that means anything, you should be taking steps in order to protect your ally. Well, that's supposed to be your friend.
Look, all we need to do, Scott, on this regard, is look at the quality of life in Israel, and to see the actions of the people in Israel versus the quality of life and the statements of the people that live in these Islamic countries. In the Islamic country, take any poll, America is considered either the worst or second worst nation on earth. They constantly shout death to America and death to Israel. They kill each other with reckless abandon. It's the world center for terrorist attacks, particularly suicide bombings. And the terrorists, the Islamic terrorists, who want to kill us all come from those countries. They are all impoverished. They are all grotesquely immoral in terms of the way they treat women, the way they treat children, the fact that they are all authoritarian regimes. Everything about them is evil. And then you have Israel, which I'm not going to claim is perfect, but they are a genuine republic in the sense that people vote. They aren't in any way as a government saying death to America. They actively participate with Americans in all manner of things. They produce a quality of life that's worth living. They have a free press. And if you look at that world, the one place you would say is the oasis of hope, a bastion of freedom, some place where you could say, yes, this is the way people ought to live, it's Israel. And you look at all of those other hell holes around them. And you see, you know, if you want to know what hell would be like, go visit one of these Islamic countries. It's natural that you should want to support Israel. But, Scott, we were talking during the break. The reality is that Assad saw, as you said, Saddam Hussein crawl out of that hole. He saw the bullet-riddled body of Muammar Gaddafi. He saw what the end game was for America. He's not going to let that happen to him. There is not one chance in hell he's going to let that happen to him. And so what is he going to do? And if you don't think through what your enemy is going to do, what is the consequence of you bombing him? And the consequence for him has to be straightforward. The moment the first bomb falls, he's a dead man and he knows it. So what is he going to do? Not hard to predict, is it?
Well, he's going to go out in a blaze. I mean,
yeah.
He almost has to.
Right. And so where are those, where are the thousands of precise missiles that he has that fly at Mach 3? Where are they going to go? You ever looked at a map and seen what a missile can do that has a 750 to 800 kilometer range that's going to travel at Mach 3 and from the Syrian border, in fact, from Damascus to Tel Aviv? 3 minutes. 3 minutes for Israelis to live.